I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Folks, tonight we're going all the way back to September the 16th, 1993, Denver, Colorado.
Are a world of people who will not use their intelligence, are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people, ladies and gentlemen, are steaks on the table, beasts of burden by choice and consent. And basically, this is the position that we find ourselves in today. There is an old axiom that America has forgotten. And basically, without going into the Latin, it is, let the buyer beware. We're buying an awful lot of things today, and we're paying an awful lot of money for these things. But basically, what it's costing us is the ideals and principles that this nation was founded upon, which I'm going to go into in some detail here in a few moments because most people have forgotten. We've lost, ladies and gentlemen, our soul, the soul of the nation, the soul of America. We lost our traditions, what few we had. In our 200-year history, we're one of the youngest nations on the face of this earth, yet we rose to be the greatest at one time, and now we are declining. Even the Roman Empire, as sick as it was, lasted a whole lot longer than 200 years. So, I guess the point of all this is, do we really want to go in this direction? And if we do, how far do we want to go? Why do we want to go in this direction? Who is propelling us along this road? And why should we follow them? Or do we even know that we're following someone else's bidding? Most people, if you try to talk to them about conspiracy, would say, there's no such thing. That's a paranoid view of history. Yet if you look at history, you can see very clearly that a hidden hand has guided the path of mankind for many centuries. Whose hand is it? Is it good? Is it bad? Does it matter? Should we be concerned? Should we maintain our blind status as sheeple and merely proceed along as all sheeple do, to be sheared and then eventually slaughtered? Or do we stop and say, whoa, where am I going? Why am I traveling along this road and not that road over there? How many of you in this room realize what's happening in this time that we're living in today? How many of you can see the fulfillment of almost every prophecy that's ever been uttered on the face of this earth? It is claimed by many are being fulfilled right under our very noses. Yet when you look at the fulfillment of this prophecy, you don't see the guiding hand of God, you see the guiding hand of man. Why? Has anyone stopped to Athens as what? Did anyone really look at how this prophecy is being fulfilled? Instead of saying, oh, biblical prophecy has been fulfilled, or oh, Nostradamus' quatrains are coming through, have you ever stopped to look and see how it is coming true? Who is bringing it to pass into the world? And why? And what are their motives? What is their agenda? Why are they doing this? If I wanted to build a world which I could rule, and if I wanted your help in bringing that world about, if I could make prophecy appear to be coming true, or to even come true before your eyes, my work would be much easier, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you. For isn't it true that if it was prophesied, it cannot be stopped? If it's true that if God says this is going to happen, that you couldn't stop it, so why bother? Isn't it true? Isn't it true that everybody wants to believe their own version of whatever religion they believe in? And all religions now are claiming that their prophecies are coming true in the world. The Jews are expecting a Messiah. The Christians are expecting Christ to return. The Arab fundamentalists believe that the Imam Mahdi is just around the corner. There's a man in London, Benjamin Krim, who swears that Maitreya is now on the earth for those who follow the Hindu path and the New Age beliefs. He claims that he's here. Yet our investigation can turn up no such man anywhere. Many of you realize that Hitler used these same ploys to rise to power before World War II. He created the atmosphere in Germany that prophecy was being fulfilled, thus a Messiah was on the way. And it wasn't just Hitler. It was the mystery schools that supported Hitler and brought him to power. And that's why he outlawed secret societies in Germany, because he knew that if they brought him to power, they could also knock him down and put somebody else in his place if they wanted to. Stalin did the same thing in Russia, in the Soviet Union. But they created this aura of mysticism. Nostradamus' prophecies were passed around in books and in pamphlets and in writings and papers in Germany in the 30s, just like they are being passed around this country now. The Christians were saying, because of the death and destruction in World War I, Jesus was coming any moment. Well, they got their Messiah, ladies and gentlemen. Hitler was their Messiah. Hitler rose to power on this wave of expectation of the fulfillment of prophecy, and he took the place of Jesus Christ. He took the place of the Imam Mahdi. He took the place of the Jewish Messiah. He took the place of the Hindu Maitreya, and he became the savior of the world in the eyes of Germany. Is the same thing happening here? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if the same thing is happening here or not, but I tell you this, we had damn well better find out real quick. Before the last election, I stated unequivocally and emphatically that William Clinton would win the election. Hands down, no problem. He would be the next president of the United States. And many of you who listen to my radio broadcast heard me say that. How did I know this? Because it wasn't a guess. And I didn't say he might become president of the United States. I said he will be the president of the United States, and he is, isn't he? Am I psychic? Am I the Messiah? No. No. I knew that Bill Clinton was going to be the president of the United States for two reasons. Number one, the Bilderberg Group, when they met in Baden-Baden, Germany in 1991, said that he would be. And they are the most powerful men in the world today. And if they said Bill Clinton was going to be president, he was going to be president, unless somebody killed him. And number two, George Bush did not run. He did not run. And when he finally got up, went around, made a few speeches, it was token. You see, when the Bilderberg Group told Bill Clinton he was going to be the next president of the United States, that's the same as telling George Bush, you're not going to be. So George Bush didn't even bother to run. When you understand who the players are, it's not hard to predict future world events. When you understand that the players for years have been writing papers and books and pamphlets predicting a complete descent into utter chaos out of which will emerge a one world government, it is not hard to predict that we're being led into that state of chaos out of which will come a one world government. And if you understand how they operate, using the Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution, you understand that the people who are bringing this about and the people in the patriot community who are resisting it are one and the same. One and the same. And they're not really resisting it at all. They're keeping you very confused, running around in circles. How many of you read The Spotlight? I read it. Because I know what they're doing. And I want to know what circle they want me running in tomorrow. So I want to read The Spotlight, because The Spotlight's going to tell me what circle patriots are supposed to be running in tomorrow. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a difference between patriotism and nationalism. Nationalism sucks. That's my country right or wrong. I did it because I was following orders. If my boss tells me to kill you, I'm going to do it, whether it's right or wrong, because my boss would never tell me to do something that's wrong. That's nationalism. Nationalism sucks. Patriotism is good. It is the right thing. Patriotism is not the devotion to a country, but to an ideal. To an idea. To a way of life. In this instance, to the only set of documents ever created in the history of the world that have given man any true, real freedom since human history began. In the history of the world, no man or woman on the face of this earth had ever been free until the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights were written and this country was established. But it was not established to give us these freedoms. On the contrary, our forefathers were members of a group. They established this country to topple the kings and queens from their thrones in Europe by giving man freedom. Because previous to that, all men and women had been owned by kings, queens, sultans, emirs, emperors, shoguns, throughout man's history. That had been the only reality in the world. Didn't matter who you were. Even the king was owned by his advisor, and if he didn't really take their advice, he would be toppled from his throne and they would put a new king up there. If you don't believe that, read history with open eyes. Read history with open eyes. Even kings, ladies and gentlemen, have never been free. With the establishment of this nation, it created a country which had a government which was literally the servant of the citizenry who were sovereign kings and queens in their own right for the first time in history. Now we're letting that slip away. The second object of founding this country was what our forefathers called the great experiment, or the grand experiment, to see if man could truly rule himself. And they knew the answer already. They knew that man could not. History had shown them that. History had shown that any move toward democracy ended in total chaos. Why do you think in the Communist Manifesto they give one man, one vote? That's democracy. See, our forefathers didn't even found a democracy, but they knew we would move into a democracy and then socialism and then a dictatorship. They knew this. They wrote about it. They predicted it. Benjamin Franklin, when he exited from the Constitutional Convention, addressed a newspaper man who was standing there and said, "Ben, what have you wrought?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And that tells you all that there is to know. Our forefathers did not fail us. They gave us every tool that we needed to succeed and every tool that we needed to destroy ourselves. They gave us the right to contract. They built into the Constitution two governments. One, a union of the several states for the mutual benefit and protection of them all. And another one, a federal government bounded by the boundaries of the Federal District of Columbia, which is a foreign government, which was created only to rule that land deeded and ceded to the government as a seat of government, the citizens of which would have no constitutional rights, and their laws would be decided, and they would be governed by Congress. They knew this. They knew that man spends the first 20 years of his life trying to become an adult and be responsible and reach the point where he can sign his name and make a contract without having to ask someone else. And then he spends the rest of his life trying to crawl back into the womb. They knew that we would contract away our rights and our freedoms and our liberties for benefits from this foreign federal government and thus become citizens of that federal government, giving up what everybody calls their constitutional rights. If you really understood our forefathers, if you really understood the ideals and principles upon which this nation was founded, there are no constitutional rights, never were and never will be. They were creator-endowed rights. They said first, there's a creator. They didn't name that creator, and they did not believe in the God of the Bible. They were not Christians. Thomas Jefferson had a habit of tearing whole pages out of the Bible and throwing them in the trash can because he said, a true God would never do the things that are written on these pages. They were members of the mystery schools. Every man who participated in the Boston Tea Party was a Freemason, and the Boston Tea Party was conducted upon the adjournment of the local Freemasonic lodge. They dressed as Indians and went out through the tea overboard. This country was brought into existence by Freemasons. Members of the Order of the Rose Cross. Members, some of them, of an order called the Illuminati, or Jacobites. Some of them were members of the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar, and many others. You can't call them one name because they exist by many different names and sometimes even seem to oppose each other. And this is the old Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution. You figure out what it is you want, and then you create a fight that will lead to the solution, and the solution is what you wanted in the beginning. And everybody thinks that they brought it about. They brought it about. How do you get rid of guns and the Bill of Rights in this country? You sell drugs to the kids all over the country. And then you say, we can't stop the drugs. Both Colombian drug lords are more powerful than the whole United States government, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, all the law enforcement agencies, the INS. And every mad father with a shotgun who ever saw their kids go down the tubes on drugs. Now, if you believe that, you're full of crap. There's not a Colombian drug lord in the world that could build an organization of logistical support, warehousing, supply network, accountability, salesmen, organizers, and overseers to put the drugs in this country that are on the streets in this country. It could only be done by one organization and one organization only. And that is the United States government. And that's exactly who is doing it. Why? Folks, this dream of a one-world government is not new. George Bush didn't invent the term New World Order. Neither did he invent the term the Thousand Points of Light. Aleister Crowley talks about the Thousand Points of Light. Hitler mentioned the Thousand Lights. They all talk about the Thousand Years of Peace. These things are not new. They're as old as man, as old as the philosophers of fire, as old as the priesthood, as old as the group that has always stood behind the throne and manipulated the world. Nothing new about it at all. Albert Pike wrote about the bringing about of three world wars. Each war would lead to an organization of world government which would be stronger than the last. The First World War brought about the League of Nations, which was extremely weak and could not have worked, no matter what. The Second World War brought about the United Nations, which has sort of worked sometimes and sort of not worked, and sometimes has been an instrument of derision and laughter, and sometimes has brought forth some pretty serious events. Now we see the United Nations taking on a greater and greater role in what happens in the world. But no one is going to accept the rule of the United Nations without some terrible cataclysmic disaster which is looming on the horizon. We're all being prepared for it, which will either be World War III or will take the place of it. And it could be one of many different things. It could be an imminent announcement of contact with an extraterrestrial race from another planet. Whether they exist or not, understand what I'm saying. It could be a total economic collapse of all of the world's economic systems. And believe me, that is probably the greatest reality that exists right at this moment. That is looming simply because of our economic system. It's unsound. It doesn't work. We're paying back money that never existed along with interest that was never created, which has to lead to a collapse because the money doesn't exist. Therefore, the interest can't be repaid without more borrowing. If you don't go out and borrow money tomorrow, the economy is going to fail, because that's what it's based upon. For me to pay back a loan, you've got to borrow some money. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? But that's exactly the way it works. And as long as people keep borrowing money, and as long as people keep using credit cards, as long as you see less and less cash, they can keep stealing and stealing and stealing until everything's gone. They want you now to accept a smart card. It'll be a driver's license, it'll be an ID card, and it'll be cash on demand, but only if you got it in your account. But
you've been a good little boy, you got a good job, you can borrow on that car too. And then there'll never be any cash, and no one will ever know how much they stole, or how much they will steal, or how much you don't really own. How many of you own your house? Not very many? Boy, that tells you something about the American dream, doesn't it? Used to be you could ask any crowd this big in any auditorium anywhere in this country, and 75% of the people would raise their hand and say, I own my home. Well, even those of you who raise your hands here, you don't own your home, and that's why you have a warrant deed. It warrants that a deed exists, but you don't have it. If you really owned your home, you would have a patent deed, a patent allodial title to your home and your land. If you don't believe that, go look up the terms in any law book and see if I'm not right. How many of you own your car? You got a certificate of title. You don't have a title. It certifies that a title exists, but you don't have it. You don't own that car. You see, because you bought the car with an instrument of debt, Federal Reserve note, folks, and you can't buy something with debt paper. It's illegal. Do you know that if they want to, they can foreclose on this whole country because nobody owns anything? And as long as you continue to use that paper, funny, phony money, you're never going to own anything? Do you realize how to get us out of the New World Order instantly, tomorrow morning? It's if everybody went down and bought gold and silver coins, tore up all their Federal Reserve notes, flushed them down the toilet, and said, bye. From now on, I only accept gold and silver coin in my business, and from now on, that's all I'm going to spend. The people who are bringing about the New World Order would croak. They would literally die of apoplexy upon reading in the newspaper that this had happened. They would be bankrupt. They wouldn't be worth a nickel. It would all come grinding to a halt. Haven't you ever wondered why, if you elect a Republican, the same thing happens as if you elected a Democrat? It doesn't make any difference, does it? That's because you don't choose. You don't choose. You're given a choice, vote theirs. And you run out and vote a vote that doesn't even count. Because the myth of the popular vote in this country is such a joke that every election time, I roll on the floor with laughter. Everybody's waiting up late to see the election results that don't even matter. As if it does. And this last election was the greatest of all. Here you got H. Ross Perot, Bobo Griff. You got, what's his name? Write the column. Jim Pat, what's his name? Pat Buchanan. I never can remember his name because everybody thinks he's so controversial. I look at him, he's so normal sheeple, I can't believe it. The guy got up and claimed to know something about the government, about what was going on, and he was going to save America. Didn't mention the Federal Reserve one time. You pick up a book about the economy or going bankrupt, or anything else about money in this country, and if they don't talk about the Federal Reserve being the root cause of what's happening in this country, you're reading the wrong book. You're reading a book full of lies is what you're reading. Book full of lies. Now, why in the world do you suppose that H. Ross Perot was running for president? And where did Bobo Griff come from? Who the hell told Rambo that they wanted him in Washington? You see, Bill Clinton had to be elected. And what did they all do? They shattered any concept of what could be called a conservative vote in this country. And they ensured that Bill Clinton was elected. And people are following H. Ross Perot around right now, saying, he's the savior of our country. He's going to be the next president. Well, I tell you what, if he is, the Constitution's going right out the window on the first train out of Washington. Perot will go in, the Constitution will go out. How many months has he been telling us? When he first told us, finally, what he stood for, you know what he said? And people said, yay, throw for prejudice. And I said, lock all those fools up. They're all crazy. They've lost their mind. How many of you know where your kids are all day? How many of you know they watch Sesame Street, that wonderful program for kids? How many of you knew that there was a character on Sesame Street called H. Ross Perot? It's a little parrot running around calling conventions. Calling conventions. We need a constitutional convention, kids, because our constitution is old and out of date. It doesn't work anymore. How many of you knew that? The next generation is being trained now to scrap the constitution. How many of you knew that the woman who put together Sesame Street and organized what's called children's television was a high-ranking member of the Council on Foreign Relations? Whose goal is to bring about a one-world government upon the dissolution of the sovereignty of nations of the world. And they've made no secret of it. Folks, this started out many, many years ago as a conspiracy. It's not anymore. It's right out in the open. Anyone who has eyes and can see and ears that can hear can see it at work all around them. So most people are blind. Most people are so blind they made a movie called They Live and threw it out to you guys, telling you the truth about what was going on, and you all watched the movie and thought it was about an alien invasion. They were telling you about themselves. And in the movie, if you put on a pair of glasses, a special pair of glasses, you could see the aliens who looked like humans without the glasses on. But you put the glasses on, you could see them. And they were everywhere. And they were at work building the new alien world order. And they even called us cattle. Remember that? Did you see the movie? They even called us cattle. Those of us who weren't part of the alien force. And when you put on the glasses, you could even see the billboards had alien messages on them. And names of corporations. And that's the truth in the world today. Because they talk in symbology in the billboards, in the newspapers, and the names of corporations are full of it. All the old gods are returning. Mazda, Saturn. Should I go on? The Texaco star with the cow crossed in the middle. The mysteries are bringing back all the old gods, and all the new gods are going to fly out the window. They're destroying us from within, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy's not out there, and it's not out there. There may be two or three sitting in this room, but I don't have those special glasses. But sometimes they display their signs and signals. I can see them. Now, I've done over 28 hours on this subject on radio. First time in the history of the world it's ever been done. The first time that any of the esoteric secrets of the mystery religion has been brought out into the public. I've studied them so much, I know more about them than they know about themselves, unless they are at the highest levels. And they have a deep respect for me. They've come to talk to me. They've tried to recruit me. They have told me, Bill, you are illumined. Why don't you join us? Because those stupid fools out there don't warrant your effort. They will betray you. Somehow I don't believe that. You see, I think what makes people the way they are is that they're asleep. They're ignorant. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know. And that's my biggest bitch with these people, is that they think they're the only mature minds in the universe, and so they hide all this stuff from the rest of the world. And that's how they lead their organizations, because up here there's a few who really know the truth, and their organizational structure is in the shape of a pyramid with a whole bunch of slathering idiots down here thirsting after the secrets that they will never learn because there aren't any. The big secret is how these people control all these people. By pretending there's a secret and always holding it just out of their reach. And making them feel as if they are a member of the elect few. We know the secret and they don't. That makes us better than them. And we're going to create a new world order and they don't even know it. You see, in their way, they're no better than us, than the rest of us. In a way, let me tell you the truth about this world. In a way, we are all somebody's fool. And my message is we better stop that. Man had better mature, each of us individually, had better learn that we don't need leaders anymore. We don't need men on white horses with shining armor to come and save us because there aren't any. And if one comes along, he's not going to save you. He wants something. He has an agenda. And that's why he's on the white horse and that's why he's got the shining armor. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the 33rd degree Freemason, took this country in his first step into socialism. When he died, Harry Truman, another 33rd degree Freemason, created the National Security Act and built a curtain of secrecy over the intelligence community. He created the CIA, brought in the entire German Gestapo with the help of Alan Welch Dulles, and made it an organization of the mystery. And they've been working ever since to fulfill the agreement, the treaty known as the United Nations Treaty, and the law known as the United Nations Participation Act, and the Disarmament Act. And their goal is to destroy the sovereignty of all nations on this earth and bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government based upon the planks known as the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx. If you don't believe that, read all the books that Henry Kissinger has written. Read all the books that Zbigniew Brzezinski has written. Read what Margaret Thatcher has warned the world about. Read Operation Paperclip. And understand that the same men who built Hitler are building whoever the hell is going to lead this new world order. They will have one government, one religion. If you don't agree with to go along with both of those, you will be imprisoned in a slave labor camp. It's as simple as that. They don't hide these things. It's their plan. It's the truth. You either go along or you're out. They don't plan in negotiating with anyone. The only obstacle that remains in their way, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that 250 American, better be more than that, 250 million Americans own weapons. The day that 250 million Americans give up their weapons will be the day that the New World Order becomes a reality and the United States of America becomes history. If it is even found in the history books, because they rewrite history on a regular basis. And if you don't believe that, go get the history books out of your local school that your children are being taught from and read them. In Arizona, we found one that said that Harry Truman solved the Korean problem with the use of an atomic weapon. We think that's funny. The children didn't know better. They believed it. And that wasn't all that we found in those books. We took them out of our schools. But the same books can be found in Colorado. They can be found in many other states. If you just look. If you just look. My message is that we need to get smart. We need to be the arbiters of the truth. We need to quit listening to and believing everybody that's telling us what to do and what to believe and start looking for the truth for ourselves. The first thing that you will learn if you ever listen to my radio show is I don't want you to believe a thing that I tell you on that broadcast. But also I don't want you to believe what Dan Rather tells you, or Bill Clinton, or Copel, or your own mother. I want you to learn to get off your dead butt, and that applies to most of you, and start searching for the real truth, and don't accept anything other than your own findings. And make sure that your own findings are real. Because so much disinformation and lies are being tossed out to us like so many scraps of meat to a dog, that it's easy to continue to go around in the little cul-de-sac, the lost whirlpools and eddies of the rivers of life, and never, never make it to a real life.
to realize. One thing I discovered in this world, ladies and gentlemen, is that you cannot live.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. If you are concerned about the future, if you care about your family, if you want to be protected in the economic trauma that is sure to come, then you need to call Swiss America Trading. Be sure and thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time, for without them you probably would not have heard tonight's broadcast, or last night's, or tomorrow night's, or next week's. Call them now, 1-800-289-2646. Tell them what your problem is. They can help steer you into an investment that can help protect your present assets. Now, I'm not telling you, ladies and gentlemen, to call Swiss America Trading on the hopes that you're going to make a big killing in precious metals. My purpose is to get your assets covered, so that as the value of the dollar continues to decline, if, and I believe that we will, if we head into a complete and total economic collapse on the lips of the emerging New World Order, you will have something to protect your family with, something with which you can buy bread, with which you can put a roof over your head, with which you can bargain to maybe even save the lives of yourself or your loved ones. Call Swiss America Trading now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Mention my name, William Cooper, and ask for all of the literature and newsletters that you're entitled to as a listener to the Hour of the Time. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. Ladies and gentlemen, today we heard the announcement that Bobby Ray Inman, retired Admiral of the United States Navy, was appointed as the Secretary of Defense. When I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence as a briefing team member at the headquarters of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. I worked directly under Bobby Ray Inman, who at that time was a young lieutenant commander, one of the youngest in the United States Navy. Bobby Ray Inman jumped over every single ranking officer in the United States Navy Intelligence Service to become the chief of the Office of Naval Intelligence. He then became the director of the National Security Agency. He was the deputy director of operations and plans for the Central Intelligence Agency. He has been a major player in the development of artificial computer intelligence. He is, ladies and gentlemen, and pardon my language, but it is the truth, a cold, calculating, mean son of a bitch, and I know because I worked for him. He is also a major player in the planning for the New World Order, and his appointment as Secretary of the Defense does not bode well for the future of the United States of America, and especially does not bode well for the great amount of stupid Americans and the sheeple out there who have no idea what is coming or how to protect themselves against it. And it doesn't matter because they don't even believe it in the first place. The phones are open, 602-333-2174. Tomorrow night, you'll hear a tape, a rerun, actually, of a show of the Hour of the Time that was done on May 3rd, 1993, entitled KDNO Exposes the Internal Revenue Service. And then on Monday, you'll hear a tape of my speech made on September the 17th, 1993, in Denver, Colorado. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Cooper.
Good evening.
Regarding Mr. Inman, I noticed in a list somewhere that Mr. Inman is in the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission.
That's correct. He is also a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite.
Well, boy, isn't that surprising?
Not to me.
Okay. Also, I just wanted to ask you, there were two terms I saw in your book, Behold a Pale Horse, kind of wondering what that was referring to. One was paradigm shift, and the other was star seed.
Star seed is the population of planets other than ours. In other words, if things get so bad here that it's not worth living here, colonies on other worlds could make a fresh start. It's not out of the question. It's not beyond our technical ability. And eventually, if the human race survives its own shaking out in the future, it will come to pass. Paradigm shift is a quantum leap in the evolutionary progression of society. In other words, man's being able to live on this earth with each other without killing each other and warring or stealing or raping or pillaging all of the time. I believe that these two things will be necessary for the human race to survive its own self, if you will. Does that help you?
Yeah, and how do those things lie in relation to, say, things that are written in the Bible?
Well, it depends upon what your religion is. Whatever I say, if I don't believe the same religion you do, is not going to mean beans to you, is it?
I guess I see your point. Let me just throw this one at you.
This is not a religious program, by the way.
Yeah, I understand. The Freemasonic True God. Is it possible?
And what do you mean by True God?
Oh, the one they say is the True God.
Okay, there you go.
could it be possible that he will be a lookalike like the Christian Christ?
You're getting into conjecture. You're getting into soothsaying. You're getting into predicting the future, which cannot be based upon any known facts, and I like to stick with facts.
Okay.
One of the ways they lead us around by the nose is getting us to believe in all of these different prophecies. Remember what Jesus Christ said. When I come, it will be as a thief in the night. Ye shall not know the day, nor the hour, nor the week, or the month. One of those two is either week or month.
Okay. I could go on and on with that kind of.
Well, this is not a religious program, and I prefer not to even get into it. You're free to worship at the altar of your choice, and so am I. Whatever you believe is not going to be believed by anybody else who does not participate in kneeling at your altar.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
602-333-2174 is the number if you'd like to call and comment on what you've heard tonight. And I hope that you can stick with what you've heard tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have lost you there. Okay. Are you familiar with the Club of Rome?
Yes, I am.
Because I have a book that is put out by them called 100 Pages for the Future. And can I quote you a couple of sentences? Quote, "The principle of territorial sovereignty is an insurmountable obstacle to peace. It must be gradually be limited and reformed and finally abandoned."
Do you believe that?
No.
I don't believe it either. In fact, it's total, unequivocal bullshit. The United States has, from its inception, except for the times when it was weaker than the major powers of the world, been able to keep itself out of wars, except when we specifically got ourselves into wars that we had no business being in the first place. We've always been stronger than the other nations of the world. Once we achieved that level of strength, no nation in the world ever had the intention or the balls to attack the United States of America.
Another thing.
The truth is that Mao Zedong, when he said that all power emanates from the barrel of a gun, is the overriding reality of the world. There will never be any peace unless a peace-loving people become stronger than anyone who would wage war against them and maintain that strength. And that includes the American people against their own government should it ever become oppressive. Americans must remain armed and must keep the ideals and principles that have made man free in this country foremost in their mind and be able to go to the map. Are there going to be slaves?
I see, that's right. Another thing I found out, I was reading Martin Short's book on Freemasonry. And one of the things he talked about a symbol, which is a triangle.
Yes.
And the word Baal is written around it in Hebrew.
Yes.
Well, if what he said in the book is right, it is misspelled. And I think I know why. Because with the incorrect misspelling, the numerical value of the Hebrew letters adds up to 33.
That's correct. And it's not just Baal, it's Jabulon.
That's right. And the Baal is the middle of it. That's
which
right.
Is Jehovah, Baal, and On. On is another name for the Egyptian god Osiris.
It's a bit bizarre if you ask me. And I'm just going to ask you a question, then hang up and listen to the rest. What parts of NAFTA should I look at, which are very important?
You can't just look at part of it. Read the whole thing.
Well, it's quite a big document there. I mean,
nothing in this world worth doing is easy.
That's true.
If you're not willing to read it all, you're not going to understand what it's all about. They hide things amidst a whole bunch of words in places that you would never think to look.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you dig out what they're up to is to read every word, every sentence, and wherever you find something that you don't understand the meaning of, you must pursue it until you understand the meaning of those words.
Uh-huh.
Nothing worth doing is ever easy.
Okay.
And that's why there's so many sheeple in the world. Human beings usually take the easy way out. I guess he just hung up. I must have made him mad. Folks, I'm not here to stroke you. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to save this country. And if you don't like it, you can stick it where the sun don't shine. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. Regarding your discussion last night with that young lady and the Concord Coalition, I noticed in the last month or two, this Pete Peterson character from the Council of Foreign Relations has been all over the media everywhere, yet is never identified as such. Can you give me details on how he fits into the plan here and what you envision on a different subject for Bobby Inman and what role he's going to be taking here over the next year or so?
Well, I'm not sure what role Bobby Inman's going to be taking, but I know that he's tough. I know that he will take complete control of the Pentagon and the military, and you'll be seeing the results of his reign as Secretary of Defense in a very short period of time, I would venture to say, because he's that kind of a man. He's no nonsense whatsoever.
Isn't it curious that both sides of the debate here are praising the appointment, and I haven't heard a negative word about him yet?
No, and you won't. He's a New World Order man, and everybody in government, so far, as we can tell, are for it and helping to bring it about. I can find no friends of the people anywhere where they should be.
I got a publication that showed Pete Peterson shaking both the hands of Paul Tsongas and Warren Rudman. That was probably from about 6 or 8 months ago. Do you have any feeling about how he's fitting in here?
No, and to tell you the truth, we haven't really looked into him.
Well, I just as a suggestion, I believe he is now either the chairman or the president of the CFR, and he never was identified as such. And yet I see him on news interview programs all the time. He's talking about how we need to, basically he's setting up the rich against the poor or the haves against the have-nots like that.
Yeah, we know who he is and what his memberships are, and we know what he's doing. But to attribute any specific role to any of these people is insane. They're all helping to bring us to the same point. And that point is one world government. Control over every human being on this earth for every moment of their life, during every moment of every 24-hour day.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And thank you for calling. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it for another edition of the Hour of the Time. Good night, and God bless you all.